And good afternoon, my fellow Canadians. This is Les Learson coming to you via the fantastic cylinder phonograph, a brand new invention from the wonderful mind of Mr. Thomas Edison. You've read the newspaper headlines about the Strangler Chief and the barbarian custom among Indians? Well, now, you get to actually hear the voices of those responsible. Today, we are talking to you from Norway House, Manitoba. The date is October 7th, 1907. Winter's chill is in the air. Today, the court will decide the fate of Joseph Fiddler, chief of the Sucker Indian tribe, who was charged with the brutal murder of one of his own kind. Why? Was it for love? Was it for money? No. It was for something that harkens back to the dark days of mankind when men behaved without reason. But Chief Fiddler claims to have somehow, accidentally, murdered a woman while trying to exorcise her of a Wendigo. What is a Wendigo, you ask? To the Indians, a Wendigo is a satanic and universally feared spirit that inhabits their forests. For a Wendigo is a human possessed with cannibalism and a voice so evil that it can actually paralyze a human being. Sergeant Daisy Smith.
These people, they're in the habit of killing one another whenever one gets delirious through fever or other causes. They are very superstitious and kill through superstitious belief, not through malice.
During the preliminary hearings earlier, in June of this year, we heard the gruesome testimony of a witness, Angus Ray.
I saw the woman, the sick woman in my lodge. She had little life left in her. She could not speak. She yelled with pain. They had spread the cotton on the ground and laid the woman on it. Of the cotton she was lying on, they pulled up the end of it and put it around her neck. And they got the string in one knot and strangled her.
Initially, when Joseph's brother Jack heard he was also being charged, he angrily responded,
"What has your great father to do with the Sucker people? This is the country of the Anishinaabek, who do as they please in their own hunting grounds. The soldiers wish to take me away and put us in their stone house. But I have 20 young men who do not wish that I go. What is to stop them killing you?"
But he was persuaded to surrender by a stern warning from a soldier, Constable Cashman.
"The Great Father will never forget an insult offered to the men who wear his red coat."
Only a few days ago, after 101 days of captivity, Jack Fiddler somehow managed to sneak away and hang himself with his belt. Perhaps one less Indian rebellion to worry about? No matter. For now we gather for the trial of the remaining brother, Joseph Fiddler, as Crown Prosecutor McKirkar questions the witness.
"Did you ever hear Jack Fiddler give any reason for having people put to death who were sick?"
"Jack Fiddler said that when anyone was sick like that and is so miserable, they might as well put them to an end."
"Did you ever hear them giving any other reason for putting them to an end?"
"No. I never heard him give any other reason."
"Did you ever hear him say that anyone who died out of his mind turned into a cannibal?"
"Yes, that is what he said."
"Do you hear anyone else say that?"
"All the men talk the same way."
"Did you ever hear the prisoner Joseph say that?"
Yes. I heard the prisoners say that more than once.
And what would be the likely result if she turned into a cannibal?
I don't know.
Would anything happen to the band if she became a cannibal?
Yes.
What would likely happen?
She would kill people.
Would anything else happen to the band?
Nothing else but that.
Do you know anything about the white man's laws?
No.
Did you ever hear anything said about the white man's laws?
No. The only thing we ever heard about the white man was that he sent the Indians off to hunt furs.
Gentlemen of the jury, you cannot find anything but that Joseph Fiddler killed this woman. Now, if you find that the accused is justified in killing because of his pagan belief, where will it land us if we accept such a belief? For as to his ignorance of the law, well, that's a matter for executive clemency.
We take up now as the jury returns. Foreman Wilkins.
Guilty of murder, but with a recommendation for mercy on account of the prisoner's ignorance and superstition.
Joseph is asked if he has anything to say to the court.
Do you have anything you'd like to say to this court?
I did not know better. I am angry. I was in hopes I would be let off without being punished. I do not want my life to be taken away until my death comes. I wish that God had blessed me. I have no wish to say any more.
Commissioner A.B. Perry passes sentence.
The law does not permit me to exhibit any mercy toward you. It is that he who commits murder shall be hanged. The law says that the object of punishing you is not to prevent a death, so much as it is to be a warning to the other members of your tribe that human life is sacred and cannot be taken.
And so the remaining brother, Joseph Fiddler, was confined to the Manitoba penal system to await his hanging. In the next 2 years, Chief Joseph Fiddler will become seriously ill and spend most of his time in the penitentiary hospital. On August 12th, 1909, with the spine of the Sucker clan broken, they will agree to a treaty and relinquish their ancestral ground for a down payment of $970 and life on a reservation. The discussion for this treaty will last for exactly 1 hour. The amount of forest they will cede will be approximately 12,000 square miles. On September 4th, Joseph will be granted a full pardon. Apparently, it will come too late. The warden of the Manitoba Penitentiary will telegraph his reply, stating that Chief Fiddler will have already been dead for 4 days from natural causes. In 93 years from now, the only measure of justice will be that of the European Christian corporate crown. The scandalous trial of Joseph and Jack Fiddler, and the grave atrocities committed against the Sucker people, will have become a thing of the past.